Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode of One Health, One Community. The guest for this episode is Dr. Bushmick, the current Associate Dean for Academic Programs in the College of Agriculture, Health, and Natural Resources, and she is also a professor in the Department of Pathobiology and Veterinary Science here at UConn. She has a strong connection to One Health through her teaching, research, and work experience, and she strengthened this connection through unique opportunities like leading the course that's normally taught partially abroad called Global One Health, Irish and U.S. Perspectives. So thank you so much for joining me, Dr. Bushmick, on this episode of One Health, One Community. I'm so excited to learn more about your take on One Health and to talk with you more about it.
Great. I'm happy to be here.
So I begin each episode by asking each guest, what does One Health mean to you?
I'm a huge fan of One Health because my definition of One Health is the intersection of human health, animal health, plant and environmental health. I think the health impacts on one group are totally related to the other groups. I believe on this planet, right, we are interrelated and that we can't really isolate one of the areas. Like you can't take people and think that they're not related to what happens in the environment, the health of people or the health of animals. I look at things very holistically, and that's a way that indigenous peoples looked at health for a long, long time, as everything was connected. And I truly believe that.
I don't think that we've talked yet about indigenous people. So I think that's a really interesting aspect of the connection of One Health. Mm-hmm. So I know you're an associate dean for academic programs in the College of Agriculture, Health, and Natural Resources. So I just wanted to ask a little bit about what your responsibilities look like and what you do in that role.
I have been a faculty member at UConn for 34 years, so a lot of years. And before, I've been associate dean for academic programs in our college for 4.5 years. Prior to that, I was a faculty in pathobiology and veterinary science department. I am a veterinarian, and so it's all related. I'm not answering your question directly, but in that previous job, was involved in veterinary diagnostics and in research, applied research on animal diseases and diagnostic methodologies, and also mainly concerned with Lyme disease and other vector-borne diseases that affect humans and animals. And vector-borne diseases is always an environmental component, right? Because the vectors are also often insects or ticks in my level of expertise, and totally impacted by the environment, right? So you can see where that relates to One Health. And I always taught too. I had a high teaching component of my job. About half my job was teaching. And I taught about diseases, and as I got more involved with One Health, very interested in how vector-borne diseases, right, especially impacted by One Health, the connections, right? So when I took this job 4.5 years ago, a little more than that now, my current job is involved with undergraduate education in the College of Ag, Health, and Natural Resources, and there's 9 departments in our college. And so the Associate Dean for Academic Programs helps students with big picture problems like dismissal, remission, you know, heavy duty things that are above the level of the departments, because in our college, most of the academic advising happens at the department level, faculty advisors and some staff advisors. But our office, I have, you know, there's 5 other people besides me in my office, and we help students with chunky issues, shall I say, and changing majors, all sorts of stuff. We also run events, like we run our college's commencement, we run open houses for recruitment, we run workshops, because we also are helping the faculty in our college with teaching and advising things. And we're a link between the faculty and the registrar's office, the rules. We're a link between our faculty advisors and the university advisors, or a link between our faculty and the admissions office. So there's a lot that goes on. Orientation for new students is a joint effort between folks in my office, our office, and the orientation group within admissions. So it's an interesting office. The folks are great. We deal every day with faculty in the college. We deal every day with the registrar's office. We deal every day with students in the college, including the Radcliffe Hicks. Remember, in this college, we have both baccalaureate four-year programs, which are the mainstay, but we also have a two-year associate of applied science degree in the Radcliffe Hicks School of Agriculture. So that's a smaller school, an endowed school. And so I'm the director of that school as part of this job. And so it's 80 students in that school, and our college all told is about 2,000 undergraduates. So it's a very busy job. It's never boring. And one of the things that when I took this job, I wanted to promote was One Health.
I think I was also reading that you were involved with a trip to Ireland in relation to One Health.
Yes. Dr. Sheila Andrew in Animal Science and I developed, we actually won an award to put together a course on One Health, an education abroad course on One Health that was geared toward undergraduate students in our college, but anybody in at the university was eligible. And what we did, we looked at, we compared One Health aspects of food safety, okay, in the United States and Ireland. And so this course didn't run during the COVID years. We did an online version last year, but it was just tiny. But we ran it for a couple of years, and what we would do is it was 3 weeks in May during the May term, and we'd have students from a variety of majors, including freshmen. You didn't have to have any background. We spent the first week on campus here in driving around to places locally. We went to farms, and we went to Avery Point campus and to some fish farming, because we looked at food safety in two industries, right, that are important both in the US and Ireland. And we looked at food safety in the dairy industry, so milk products, cheese products, things like that, and farming, dairy farming, and then in the fish farming industry, and which was pretty interesting. We have a big shellfish industry in Connecticut, and we worked with the folks at Sea Grant to tell us about that and talk about sea vegetables also, like seaweed, which is a growing industry in Connecticut, and also both very important in Ireland, right? And so we looked at both those industries here, the first week here in the US, and then we spent 2 weeks in Ireland and went all around, not just Dublin, a lot of places, when you do education abroad, they plop you in one place in a country. No, we did, we had a bus, and we'd usually have about 7 or 8 students, and we went all around Ireland to different places that were big in the dairy industry, big in fish farming. We went to research places. We went to government places. We talked about regulation, which is quite different. Regulation of food safety, which is way different in Ireland, which is still regular Ireland. The Republic of Ireland is part of the European Union. And then way different regulatorily based compared to the United States. And in my previous job, I worked a lot with this regulation in USDA in the United States. So I was pretty familiar with that. And we were able to bring our group to visit USDA APHIS and talk with the people involved, with the veterinarians mostly involved with food safety regulation here. And then did the same thing. Really, we went right to the top of the heap, really, because Ireland's a small country, so we could go to the federal level and talk to them about how Ireland works with the European Union to regulate food safety in those industries. Great trip and long trip, and we got to see cultural differences also. And Ireland's kind of old and really amazing culture too. So anyway, boy, we had a great time. And you know, that COVID really, it was impossible to make those visits because on both directions travel was shut down the last 2 May. So I will not be involved in it this year, but I don't know if there might be other iterations of the class coming up. I hope so, but we still don't know what's going to happen with COVID. Great class, though. Oh, loved it.
That sounds like a great opportunity. I know you were saying that you're not sure about it happening again in the future. Would it happen again virtually, would you know?
I am not sure. I won't be involved in it. I know I have other commitments. But I know Dr. Andrew had been talking to some other faculty. I really don't know. It really loses something virtually, because one of the great things about it was going, like, we went out on boats to salmon farms in Ireland. We went out on boats in the Long Island Sound here to look at the shellfish and the seaweed. We walked along the coast, the way they lots of the seaweed growth farming in Ireland is natural, so we went out and harvested them. It's so great. There's a real lot to be said with experiential learning wherever you are, like you're actually going out and doing something. And we always preface that by talking about what we're going to see and what they should. The students kept notebooks about what experiences they had. We when we went to the research places and the regulatory places, they created notes and provided a at the end of the class, they did a paper talking about one of the topics, the related topics, and the differences they saw between the two countries and how that impacted food safety and how that from a One Health perspective, and they were beautiful papers, and it's really thought provoking. And so you can do some of that. You can do some of that virtually, but you can't do all of that virtually. And with education abroad, I know in our university, they're trying to do more virtual things, but I look forward to the time when we can really physically visit each other and learn from each other.
My last question that I have to ask you today is, what is something that you can suggest to students to make a positive impact in relation to One Health, or maybe if students are really interested to get further involved with it?
One thing, it's hard for me to say one thing. I would probably encourage students. We have a group on campus, Students for One Health, and that's a nice, as a recently started club, a dynamic club with people with similar interests. So that's one thing that you could do, and talk to other people that are interested in the topic. From a personal perspective, I would just take a few minutes to think about how you in your everyday life are connected to animals. Your health is connected to animals, plants, and the environment. So we have, when I have a colleague at the UConn Health Center, and she teaches She's a physician. She teaches a course in nature as medicine. Nature as medicine. And I went and gave a segment of that this year. And we talked a little bit about One Health and the medical students. This was for medical and dental students. And she took them out to a retreat center, and we were walking in the woods. And there's quite a large body of evidence that suggests being immersed in nature. They call it nature bathing, good grief, but being immersed in nature is very soothing and very calming and very health promoting to human beings, because we get very busy in our own heads, and the energy of the plant, I mean, plants have energy, right? All things have energy, and the energy of the plants around us, it's big, you know, and it can really help us settle down. And you probably know a lot of people that have had pets understand how soothing and calming the energy of the animals are to us. But if we can be calming to them too, and we can be health promoting to our environment, right? So I would urge people to just like step away from their own narrow focus and think about how each of us is, and our health and our well-being is connected to the other components of One Health, the health of humans, animals, plants, and the environment.
I think that is some great advice, and definitely something that students, I don't think enough about.
We have beautiful trails here. It's very easy to go up, walk on Horse Barn Hill. That always does you good, right? And then go see the animals. Go, you know, smell the flowers. I know they always say smell the roses, but truthfully, you know, when those lilacs come out right near George White Building in the spring, go sit there. It smells great. And the time that you spend, the 5 minutes or 10 minutes or half an hour that you spend connecting with nature and plants and animals, it does everyone good. We all benefit together. So it's worth, people say, I don't have the time. I've said, I don't have the time. You got to make that time, and then you'll feel better. You'll be more productive too. It's a win-win.
Definitely. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode. I learned so much more about One Health and your involvement with it, so thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you all for listening, and be sure to look out for more episodes of One Health, One Community.